came as a little bit of a shock to me on Friday when I picked up the phone and Bobby Joe was on the phone to talk to me to tell me that Dave had just passed away. And again, my thoughts go back. I only taught Dave for 1 year, 1982 to 1983. I think he was an 83 graduate, was he not? And again, he played soccer, played basketball, and again, a good student, very good student. And again, just comes to a shock, you know. I was trying to figure out how old he was. And you know how it is when you're somebody's teacher, they're always young, you know. And then when she said, I said, well, you know, he was only like 7 years behind me in age, so he was like 49 or 48, and she said he was 48. And I was like, wow, you know, because to me, he's always a teenager or whatever. But I don't know. Maybe Dr. Baylor could fill me in, but I don't know. I think now three students that I've taught at the school have gone on to die now. I don't know. I don't know if there's more than that, but I know of three that have gone on to die. And again, it's just a shock every time you hear about it. I guess the first was Tristan Aiken. I remember that when that happened. But again, just a shock. Will you pray for the Dorman family? You pray for Dave's dad. His name is Bud. I think he lives in North Carolina right now. But again, he has been very resistant against any kind of gospel or Bible message all these years. And so if you would pray for Bud, I'm hoping that he'll go to the funeral. I'm sure he will. For his son, but he'd hear the gospel again, and this would be the time that God would grant repentance. And as he hears the gospel there. So again, you pray for that family. And who knows? I mean, right now, when you stop and think about it, where Dave is, would you want him to come back? You know, he's with the Lord, but maybe what's going on with him could be a means whereby his dad gets saved. Wouldn't that be great? So you pray for that especially. Again, I'm doing a message here. Again, most of you know, some of you know, that on Tuesday evening coming, there is going to be a debate between Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham, who is the founder, I believe, and works with Answers in Genesis. I think he did work with Institute of Creation Research before that, but he's with Answers in Genesis, has the museum, trying to get the Word of God out there. But they're having a debate on Tuesday night about evolution versus creation. And Bill Nye's idea was, if you believe in creation and you teach it to children, you're teaching them a lie, and we shouldn't be doing that. And so Ken Ham kind of took him up on that, and they're going to debate. Again, if you go to the website for Answers in Genesis, which is what AIG, you can probably get the live stream address. So if you have a computer, you can watch that live on Tuesday night. If not, I have it on my computer, how to find it. Though I don't know if I'll be available Tuesday night to watch it live. But again, it's not on TV, but you go on your computer, go to Answers in Genesis, they will probably give it to you. Again, if you can't find it, Jane Weaver sent it to me. I think Dan Smith sent it to me, so I've got a bunch of websites to find that I can find, and we're happy to help you with that if you need to find it. But I wanted to do a sermon on it. I've been reading a couple books on creation versus evolution and all those things. And just to come up with, when they have a debate like this, again, to look at the helpfulness of it, but also to look at the limitations and maybe put it into some perspective of what we really need to do as Christians, okay? And so I called it Defending Your Faith, or Defending Our Faith is what I called it, okay? But again, this is Calvary Bible Church, and so it kind of goes along with the name of our church and what we're believing, okay? Especially the word Bible being there and reinforcing our belief and our faith in the Bible. Again, there are people that sometimes, you know, do not believe that faith needs any kind of defense. Faith is just its own thing, and it'll work itself out. And again, but I don't believe you're right about that. The verse that we read basically says that if somebody asks you about the reason for the hope that you have, you ought to answer them. You ought to answer them. And so, again, right off the bat, a guy like Ken Ham, I'm all for what he's doing. Okay. And I kind of put it this way: if nobody gets saved, which I know is not true, but if nobody gets saved through Ken Ham's ministry with Answers in Genesis, I can tell you one thing it's done for me. It's definitely confirmed my faith that what I believe is right. And I'm not some weirdo believing in fairy tales and mythology that's not going to work its way out. I believe the truth. But I do believe people are getting saved through his ministry. But we need to have answers. And we need to make sure that we answer the world. I was telling my Sunday school class, I don't know if you saw it this week. I got a chance to just kind of see it. It's one of those things that just happens. But those tablets, there was a tablet that came out. It's a very old tablet from 2000 B.C., they've been able to translate the cuneiform that's on there. And on this clay tablet written in cuneiform from thousands of years ago, there is an account of the flood and Noah and the flood. Okay? And again, people read that and they see that. Now, I was turning the channel and CNN was discussing this. So I settled in, watched CNN. And they talked about this tablet and how it mentions Noah, you know, and there's the Bible over here and it mentions Noah. Now we have a tablet that kind of also does it. Though there are lots of flood stories out there in other cultures also. But how they did it, but then they were saying, well, the dimensions and the directions to build the ark in this tablet, it was sort of a round ark instead of a rectangle ark. And so they were trying to say that, you know, well, this one over here, the ark is kind of round, and this one over here in the Bible was more rectangle. And they were discussing that, okay, there are some differences between the two recordings of how it was recorded. And then just as they signed off, the lady on CNN, and I don't know her name because I don't watch it really that much, but she said this as she signed off: it doesn't really matter that they differ, they're both just mythology. And then the story was gone, okay? Now, I tell people, there's people out there that believe this kind of stuff, and sometimes I don't think we just leave them unanswered. You know, we need to answer them. You know, no, it's not mythology, okay? It's not mythology at all, it's true. And so we need to have answers. And again, there's people that have taken the battle. And when it comes to evolution versus creation, people like Ken Ham and other men like that have done a great job in the battle. But they're answering people. And here's the part that I want you to understand. Though you see the forces of atheism and evolution battling us and beating on us, trying to make us look like fools if we believe the Bible, don't you fall for their trap in a minute. And that's sort of what this is about. Don't fall for their trap. You are not foolish for believing the Bible, okay? Doesn't matter how much they say they you're ignorant or whatever, okay? You are not foolish. Now, you may not have the answers to every one of their little questions that they put out, and they may bring a bone out and show you a bone and tell you about the bone, and you don't know about the bone, and you don't know how to answer them. But there's men out there that are Christians who do. Okay, just because we don't have all the answers, there are men out there, and what we're believing about different things is not false, okay? It's the truth, and we need to know that. And we need to have answers. I hope, again, that you're coming up with answers. I said in Sunday school, you know, if you're afraid that somebody's going to ask you a certain question you don't know the answer to, well, folks, before they ask you the question, go study it, okay, and find the answer. And so that when finally somebody asks you, well, I'm just afraid of the day that my kids ask me, so-and-so. Well, get an answer before they ask you, okay? And that's kind of what this verse is. And I do like the bottom of the verse on the screen there. And you are to do it in what? Meekness and fear, okay? Do it in meekness and fear. Is that blinking up behind you? Up behind me? Good, okay, because it's blinking over here. From time to time, it just blinks. I don't know what it is. It tries to keep me awake is what it is. So you can see it in meekness and in fear. So I hope Ken Ham, and I've been praying for this man for a month or more, when he gets the opportunity to debate, I hope he does it with Christian love and meekness and doesn't try to argue and fall into that. And he does it the best he can there. So again, just to give you those things, make sure in meekness and fear. But I want to go ahead and give you a whole sermon that we have here. Those who ask if you have a reason of our hope are to be given an answer. Okay? Come up with answers. If you don't know the answer, go find the answer. You can't borrow character, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, but you can borrow brains. So if you don't have the answer, go find out who has the answer and get the answers. And we need to give answers there. From time to time, you'll notice I'm going to have to turn around and make sure I've got something. You've lost yours too, have you? Okay? Because I've lost mine over here. So I got notes. We'll make it here, okay? Basically, there's two views when it comes to how we should answer people. Okay? There's two views. One of them's right, and that's what you'll be preaching on, and the other isn't. But the first is an evidence first kind of evaluation here. Evidence first. What we do is we look at the evidence and we make our conclusions based on the evidence. Now, this seems to be what we would call a legal point of view. Okay, if you were asked to be on a jury somewhere, would they not ask you to look at the evidence in the case and then make your verdict based on the evidence? That's what they would tell you. And there are people that say when we are looking at some things and we need to come up with answers, you look at the evidence and then you come up with your answers based on the evidence. However, I'm going to give you the way I think is right. You go to a Bible first. Okay? You go to a Bible first. Now, here's what happens. If I can just mention it briefly and move on. Sometimes you've got Bible and you have what we call seeming evidence. And the two seem to be contradictory to one another. There's the problem. Which one are you holding on to? I'm telling you, hold on to the Bible. Hold on to the Bible. Even if it seems to be contradictory to evidence. Now, I know that people say, well, that's why you people are so stupid. Okay, that's why you're fools. That's why you're so dumb, because you believe the Bible. Okay, and it doesn't make sense. I know that sometimes faith doesn't make sense. Did you know that? Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. But we're here to do it. But again, I think the Bible makes a whole lot more sense than what we are given credit for believing or whatever. Evidence first, if I can give you a definition, basically an objective evaluation of the evidence will lead to the conclusion that the Bible is true. Okay? That's what people believe. If you do the evidence and you bring forth the evidence and present it in the right way, the evidence will lead people to the conclusion that the Bible is true. Now, can I just tell you something about the statement that I have there on the board? I really don't believe it. I really don't believe it. Because there's a lot of people out there, scientists, that are looking at evidence. Is it leading them to the point that the Bible is true? Is it? No, it's not. Okay? It really isn't. And I could say this to you as we come to that debate on Tuesday night, if you sit to watch it. Ken Ham can present the best arguments with the best evidence, and nobody may be led to the Bible because of that. That may be disappointing to you. Well, I'm hoping that the world is going to experience a great revival because Ken Ham is going to present evidence and he's going to do it in such a way that it'll lead everybody to the Bible. You know what? It's not going to happen. Because I don't believe evidence first is a way basically that will lead the world to Christ. I don't think that's what it is, okay? The Bible first is basically you start with the Bible. The presupposition that the Bible is true. It's God's word. And when you have that foundation set, now as you look at the evidence is going to make sense, right? The evidence is going to make sense. Again, the Christian scientists and the atheistic scientists, the Darwinists, are looking at the same bones that we're digging out of the earth, right? One of them says, this proves the flood and creation and everything that's written in the Bible. The other side looks at it and says what? These bones prove what? Evolution. Is that what they're doing? They're looking at the same bones. One goes one way, one goes the other. I would tell you, start with the Bible. God created this earth. There has been a flood, and when you look at the bones coming out of the earth, those bones make sense, okay? And I still don't understand how evolutionists all these years think that there's missing links and we haven't found even the closest one. And as I said before, we're not just looking for a missing link. We're looking for an entire missing what? Chain. It's not there, okay? But start with the Bible, and I'm here. We're Calvary Bible Church. I've said this before, I keep saying it again. If we're not going to believe the Bible, change the name of the church. All right? And what do you believe in? Evidence? Okay, then call it Calvary Evidence Church. And then once you get the evidence changed, why you even hold on to Calvary? Are you with me? What are we going to call it? What do you believe? I believe the Bible. Leave the name up there. Good words to have out there. Again, we're a Bible. So that makes sense of the evidence is what it does then. Again, evidence is not enough to settle the matter because of conflicting worldviews. I'm not getting into worldviews. There's a big discussion on that, and it's a good discussion. But what you already presuppose and believe affects how you look at evidence. Am I right about that? It does. It really does presuppose how you look at evidence or whatever. And, just our opinions of things affects the evidence and things like that. I could give you a lot of illustrations of how one person sees it one way and one person sees it another way, but you both looked at the same thing. Am I right about that? Okay. Again, some of you are going to watch the Super Bowl today. Some of you for one team, some of you the other team. Whichever team you're for is going to affect how you're looking at the Super Bowl. Okay. And the things that you see on the Super Bowl. And it will. But evidence sometimes is just not enough because we have a worldview that basically biases or prejudices the way we look at evidence, okay? And that's what happens. It just does that. Again, there's no neutral evaluation of evidence. It's really hard to have a neutral evaluation of evidence. It's hard to do. So did you understand that? Okay. Going on, evidence is very useful when we agree on how it should be interpreted. Okay, I mean, when we start digging bones out of the earth and we believe in a flood and a creation and all the things that take place, then these bones look really good. We like exactly what we're seeing. Okay, but somebody doesn't hold to that worldview. Again, we'll look at the bones and interpret something completely different. So again, what I'm saying here is the Bible must be the ultimate standard because no other standard can make knowledge possible. Okay, I hope you understand this. I'm going to give you a lot of Bible verses. I'm just not talking and then not going to back it up. But again, let's look at some Bible verses if we can do that. Matthew 22:29. What did Jesus say? You do err. Why are they erring? Because you don't know the scriptures or the what? Power of God. You know, I could look at a lot of atheists, Darwinists, whatever you want to call them, evolutionists, and say to them, you know what? You guys are wrong. Well, what makes us wrong? You don't know the Bible and what it teaches, and you don't know the power of God. So Jesus, when talking to people that had wrong opinions, held wrong doctrine, he told them, you're wrong. And the foundation of you being wrong is you don't know the scriptures, and you definitely don't know the power of God. Okay? And by the way, if you start studying creation and this world, you'll get a better view of the power of God. You really will as you start studying how God put this world all together. Got a lot of verses here. Proverbs 1:7, notice, the fear of the Lord is the what? See, when I say you start at the Bible, and then the Bible helps our evidence, do you see it in that verse? The fear of the Lord, that's where you start with knowledge. Okay? You want to know the truth? Well, you better start with God. And from there, we're able to know truth. I just go back. A lady to look at that and then say, well, even that story in the Bible is just mythology. Okay? Because she didn't start with God, she ended wrong. By the way, I tell people a good word to use, though, intelligent, well-mannered, good people, okay, I'll use those words, can be fools. That lady, there she is on CNN. World known, great job, probably pretty smart, talented to be an anchor on CNN. I mean, talented. But she's a fool if she thinks Noah's Ark is mythology. I said this in Sunday school, I'll repeat it again. By the way, Jesus confirmed the story of Noah's Ark. All right? Not only is it just a story in the Bible, but Jesus talked about it. What did he say? As it was in the days of Noah. So you say, well, let's line up on this side all the people that believe that Noah's Ark is a myth, and let's line up on this side all the people that think it's true. Guess who's standing over there? Jesus. I think I feel pretty good about standing beside him. What about you? Now, go ahead, world. Call me all the names you want to call me. I'm standing with Jesus on this one. That makes me pretty smart. Okay? So, again, I don't want to think that other stories in the Bible aren't true because Jesus didn't mention them. If it's a story in the Bible, it's true. But Jesus authenticated that one. He also authenticated Jonah and the whale, did he not? As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. Didn't he say that? So he authenticates that story. And everybody thinks that one's a fable, don't they? Jesus said, that's no fable. That's true. So again, the fear of the Lord is what? Beginning of knowledge. Calvary Bible Church. We're going to start with the Bible. Again, you can see in Colossians, this is Jesus, this is God, in whom, maybe I should have capitalized whom so you know it's deity, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, these men, these ladies who think they know it all, professing themselves to be wise, they've become what? Fools. You want to know wisdom and knowledge? You find it in Jesus, and he's given us his word, is what he's done here. Romans 1:22-23. I've got it there because if you go to the Bible every time, we'll be here a long time, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Again, these people know a God exists. He's put it in their hearts. They know there's a God. But when they knew God, they didn't want to glorify him as God, because if we realize there's a God, then we got to live by his rules, and they don't want that. So you know what? We're not going to be thankful. We became vain in our imaginations, and they're foolish. Notice, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And notice, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Again, you can see here in verse 23, and changed the glory of God. Metalasso, changed. This is basically what they said. We know there's a God. We know there's a God. He wrote it in our hearts, but we're not going to glorify him as God. We're not thankful to him. We don't want to live by his rules. So you know what? We're going to, and that word metalasso, changed, is exchange that idea. We're going to give up God and take this over here. God didn't create the world. We don't want that. We're going to exchange it for evolution. And now they believe whatever they want to believe, because they said, we don't want that. We want this. And they exchanged it. Okay? Again, You think of something in your life that you've exchanged. Maybe you order a meal at a restaurant, and when it showed up, you're like, whoa, can I have something different? I really didn't think that's what it was. And maybe they exchanged it, and they say, okay, we'll take that back, and what they do? Give you something else. Well, I really didn't want that. So you can see here, they said, we don't want this God, but we want this over here. And they've become fools. I mean, in the Bible, people bow down to wooden idols and metal idols. What foolishness when there's a powerful God up there to be served, again, who loves us and died for us. Again, moving on, Colossians, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after rudiments of the world, and not after who? Christ. Watch out what they're teaching out there. You start swallowing hook, line, and sinker what they're teaching out there, it will ruin you. The word here is what? Spoil. It'll ruin you. Make sure you hold on to Christ and not the traditions of men, okay? And the tradition of man today seems to be that evolution's true, but it's not. We need to hold on to that. 1 Corinthians, for the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness. That lady on CNN, she probably thought she was so smart, saying, we know it's all mythology. She thought she was so smart. And God probably echoed out of heaven, said what? Thou fool. And I do say this, when God calls you a fool, you're a fool. You are definitely a fool. Okay. Again, moving on. Let's get some more here. 1 Corinthians 3. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are what? Vain. I don't know a whole lot about Bill Nye, the science guy. I've watched his science show. Was he on PBS or whatever when my kids were small? Don't think I'm watching him now, but, well, I do watch a lot of PBS, even to these days, you know. So, I could be in the house or whatever, sitting there watching something on TV, and grandkids walk in, hey, Pop, can you put on Nick or put on PBS or whatever? And next thing you know, I'm watching Kalu. Anybody watch Kalu or whatever? Maybe I'll be watching Bill Nye, the science guy. The thoughts of the wise, they think they're so smart. No, you're vain. They're empty. There's nothing there is what we have here. Ephesians, walk not as other Gentiles. Walk in the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from God. Again, the ignorance that's in them because the blindness of their hearts. May that never be us because we understand God. We're not alienated from God. We're by his side. Again, he's in us. We're in him. There's no ignorance, no blindness. Because we believe God and his word that was written to us. Again, 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Again, these people, these Darwinists, evolutionists, again, they won't receive the things of God. They're foolishness. They're just foolishness to them. Again, 1 Corinthians 1:21, the world by wisdom knew not God. Remember I gave you the evidence first? Oh, we've got all this stuff. We're so smart. We can study bones. We can study DNA. We can study all these things. You know what? That's not going to help you know God. You want to know God? He wrote a Bible. Get into it. That's where you'll find him, in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. These are good verses that I think we need to make sure that we hold on to and we understand there. Our faith's not in evidence. It's in the power of God. One last verse then, you know this one. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Again, our thoughts need to be on God. I tell people, do you see the word gap up there? God's will is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect. And so we need to make sure that we've renewed our mind and we're following him. Again, let me just give you this here. And I know Ken Ham, he's a good man. Again, I've read a lot of his things. I've watched him on videos and all that. Never met him yet. But you know what? You can't argue somebody into heaven. If you ever try to do it, it's not going to work. Okay? If he gets in a shouting match on Tuesday night with Bill Nye, the science guy, he's automatically the loser. You don't argue anybody into your point. It's not going to happen. Okay, so again, we just got to make sure that we don't think we can argue somebody into it. Here's maybe our prayer. You can't argue somebody into heaven. God has got to give repentance. Okay, I've got a verse for that, do I not? Let me see if I can get up here. Notice, in meekness, remember 1 Peter 3:15? Fear and meekness is how we talk to people that oppose us. But notice, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Again, that's what we need here. I'm praying this. I'm praying that Ken Ham on Tuesday night does not just give all evidence. I hope somewhere he gets the Bible into it. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. I hope Ken doesn't think, you know, I'm really a smart man. I've got my doctor's degrees. I've been studying all this evidence. I've written books. I give seminars. I've had people that are smart help me here. Boy, we're going to convince the world about God. And he leaves the Bible out of it. It's not going to work. And I hope Ken Ham says to people, you know, this is what God said. This is where we stand. Okay? And maybe Bill Nye is going to say, well, that's such foolishness. Okay, call it foolishness. But here's the Bible, and that's the power of God. So again, on Tuesday night, God's got to do a work in the heart of men using the Word of God, which I hope Ken Ham uses on Tuesday night to see people get saved is what we need. Again, evidence can be used to convince people of a point if they already have the correct worldview. I'll probably look at this thing and watch it and say, boy, that was really helpful to me, Ken Ham. All the evidence that you brought up, it really makes me know that what we believe is true. You know, it backs up our faith and all of those things. But, you know, people with other worldviews are probably going to look at Ken Ham and say, what? I didn't see anything good about what you said. It's all about a worldview is what we have here. Again, as Christians, we're always looking for this magic bullet, okay? The magic bullet that someday an archaeologist is going to put his shovel into the ground and find something, and that when he shows the world what he found, we're all going to say what? I mean, the whole world is going to say what? Wow, the Bible is true. There really is a God. Now, somebody tell me, what is that magic bullet that if we find it, we are pretty much convinced the world, now, not us maybe, but we're convinced the world's going to turn to God. What is it? Okay? What piece of evidence that if we dig it up, we'll convince the world that the Bible is true? You know what it is? Noah's Ark. I've heard people say, boy, if we could just find Noah's Ark intact up on a mountain in Asia somewhere, then the world would have to admit that God is true. How many of you think that's true? How many of you think the world would just say, wow, we found Noah's Ark. Wow, I'm going to become a Christian. I just don't think it's going to happen. Now, folks, I believe that there's a bigger magic bullet out there than Noah's Ark. And it's already happened, and it's already been found, it's already been recorded, and yet it hasn't convinced hardly anybody, maybe. Okay, it's just not that big. It's just not that big magic bullet is what it is. Okay, again, this is what was read by Mac. If you have your Bible open to Luke 16, 27 to 31, okay, you'll find out that this is a huge magic bullet that everybody's believing in. Okay, boy, if we just had that. Again, you remember when this rich man is in hell, he says to Abraham, if you would just resurrect Lazarus, okay, and he could go back and knock on my father's door and talk to my brothers, when they see Lazarus resurrected, standing at the door, they would all get saved is what would happen, okay? They'd all get saved. And notice verse 29, Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear that. And he goes, no, if one came back from the dead, they would repent. What's the word that comes out? And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuade it, though one rose from the dead. Now, if somebody out in the world said to you, you know what? If I could have seen Jesus resurrect from the dead, then I definitely would believe that it's all true. It's not the magic bullet, folks. It's not. Okay? It's really not the magic bullet that we want. Those who do not accept the scriptures will not be convinced by resurrection. Okay, and by the way, resurrection is bigger than finding a boat. I mean, anybody could build a boat and go put it up on a mountain somewhere, couldn't they? We really could. We really could. I mean, if somebody said, hey, well, let's build a boat and go put it up on the mountain. I think we got the technology in America today to build a boat and put it on a mountain. Do you think so? Do we have the technology in America to resurrect a dead body yet? We don't. So you can see that resurrection is bigger than a boat, right? Bigger than a boat, okay? Does anybody know Matthew 28, 16 to 17? Oops, take me back, please. Take me back. I'm sorry. Does anybody have it? Let's go to that, please. Matthew 28, if you can get me back. There you go. Matthew 28. When you get to Matthew 28, there's a few things physically you're going to realize immediately. You're at the last chapter of the book of Matthew, okay? You're all pretty good, and you can do that, can you not? Anybody tell me what happens in the last chapter of the book of Matthew? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 16 and 17, please. Okay. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Well, last three words. But some doubt it. What? You saw him crucified. You saw him nailed. You saw his side opened up with a spear. You saw him dead. 3 days later, or a couple days later, maybe it's more than three, but by the time, you see him alive. And yet some people are saying what? Yeah, I don't think it's true. He probably didn't really die. Really? I mean, and the world would probably have the same view today. If we were to give them a resurrection, if God were to give them a resurrection, and we can't give them one. If God were to give them a resurrection, they'd see it and still say what? Oh, there was some kind of trick involved. Some kind of trick. Again, is seeing believing? There's Jesus. In fact, this is a Jesus who said, you know, put your fingers here. Put your hands here. It's me. But some doubt it. But some doubt it. Some would say, if I saw a miracle, I would believe. And that's what I say. What? Really? I don't think so. We just interpret it a different way, would we not? Okay, the world would just interpret it some other way as what would they say? And, oh, it was a trick. They fooled us. There's something there, okay? They would do that. Notice Romans 1:18. Men who hold the truth in righteousness. You know what? Even if they saw a miracle, they would not let themselves believe it. By the way, I have the word hold highlighted there. Can you see it? Because that word really means to hold down or suppress. You know what? I don't believe the truth. I'm going to keep it down here. I'm not going to let it get into my mind. And even if I saw somebody resurrect it, you know what? I'm not going to believe it. I'm going to keep it under my feet. Suppress it. I don't care. Okay? I'm not going to believe it. And that word literally is to hold down, as if you want to put it in. Men who hold down the truth. You know what that means. Suppress. I don't want to believe it. Even though I have all this evidence. And again, Ken Ham on Tuesday night could bring all the evidence in the world, and what are these people going to say? I'm just not going to believe it, okay? Evidence isn't going to help, okay? It takes more than that is what it is. So I've kind of put down in here something like this, important. All debates about the evidence must include an invitation to come to God in faith. It's what it comes down to, folks, okay? It all comes down to faith, and I hope Ken Ham presents the gospel somehow. I hope he gets some Bible verses in it, because that's the power of God, the Bible, not his evidence or whatever. And by the way, God does use his word in powerful ways, does he not? And I hope Ken Ham gets the Bible in there. So it's got to come down to an invitation to faith in God. If somebody just says, you know, I just can't, you know, I see all the evidence. No, you got to believe in God and give them the gospel. Tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, how he died for their sins. That's what we have to use. That's our weapon. Okay? That's our weapon. It's not scientific evidence, okay? It's the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's our weapon, and we need to get that out there and give it to them then so that they'll see God. Again, an evidence-first approach is bad for Christians. Now, I've changed directions and gears a minute. Not only is an evidence-first approach bad for non-Christians, and we think that it'll lead them to Christ. It won't. We've got to get them to believe in faith. But you as a Christian sitting right here, an evidence-first approach is not what we want, okay? It's not what we want. Notice, talking to Christians, that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. As Christians, watch being too much evidence-oriented. It's better to be faith-oriented. Did you hear me? Now, you're probably saying, well, Pastor, I disagree with you. That's okay. All right? That's okay. Notice, one, it sets up our reasoning capabilities to be more weight than faith in God. Well, I'm going to look at the evidence before I know what to do here. No, look at the Word of God before you need to know what to do here. Use the Word of God to direct your lives, not just the evidence or using your reasoning capabilities. Again, if you all you do is look at evidence and read line evidence, it'll cause you to reinterpret the Bible. It really will, okay? It'll cause you to reinterpret the Bible. For example, let me give you a modern-day example, theistic evolution. Theistic evolution basically is a day-age creation. Oh, you know, when God created the earth, it wasn't six 24-hour days. God used evolution to create the world, and that first day was millions and billions of years old age. And then the second day was another billion years, and God used evolution to create the earth. I believe, my heart, people who believe in theistic evolution looked at some scientific evidence and said, boy, I don't know how that matches up with the Bible, and they readjusted what the Bible says to meet their thinking about the evidence. If you're a theistic evolutionist, you probably want to stand up and beat me up right now or redefine what I said, but I think I'm pretty well right. You looked at the evidence first and said, you know what, that six-day creation thing with 24 hours days, I just don't see how it works. We're going to have to come up with a new theory, and you've come up with theistic evolution. God used 6 days, but those days were billions of years old, and that's how God did it, okay? And I tell people, you know what? As a Christian, you looked at evidence rather than just believing when God said, I mean, Ten Commandments, for in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. God said it. You believe that, okay? That's what you believe. Don't let the evidence persuade you another way. By the way, I do tell people with theistic evolution, you got a bigger problem than just that. Because if somebody says, oh, what's so bad about theistic evolution? For the wages of sin is death. Watch this. If the world is billions and billions of years old, as they're saying, nothing could have died before Adam and Eve in the garden. Because death came into this world because of what? Sin. And so people who believe in theistic evolution really don't have a big problem with sin. It's not our problem. It's not really the reason why we die. It's some other reason, because animals and all that died long before Adam and Eve got on the scene. And now you've ignored the wages of sin is death. And I try to tell people, if theistic evolution is right, then everything that was ever born and lived on the earth, it was all still alive at the time of Adam and Eve. Nothing could have died. So evolution couldn't have happened anyway, because nothing could have died. Because the first time death entered into anything was where? At the Garden of Eden, which they say was billions of days, years from here. Is everybody following my thinking? You got a gospel problem. Because you don't believe death's our problem. You believe something else is. I need to move on. I want to give you some more Bible, though. Let's get another one here, okay? Science and evidence can be used apart as our apologetics, but it cannot be the foundation of our defense. I've been saying this, again, just rewording it another way, okay? Another example of problems when we use our reasoning over belief in God. Can I give this? Okay, we're going to use it. Genesis chapter 3, the temptation of Eve. Let's go ahead and use an evidence-first idea. Are you ready for this? Okay? God said, literal translation out of the Word of God, I do believe. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. Who said that? God said it. Okay? I believe I quoted it right. I don't think there's any typos in it. I think I didn't leave any words out. That's exactly what the Bible says that God said. Okay? That's exactly what God said. Now, I have a question for you. If you are a faith-first person, do you believe that? You better. That's the Word of God. God said it. You better believe it. But watch this. Somebody came along and said, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here we go. You are Eve, and you're sitting there. You know what God said. You know what the serpent just said. Satan. Let's examine the evidence. Okay? So she sits down and she says, this tree, it's good for food. It really is pleasant to the eyes. And if I do eat it, I'll probably be a whole lot wiser. She was examining what? Evidence. If she had a Word of God first approach, she would have said what? Are you following me through? And now God said, if we eat this thing, we're going to die. But she sat down and said, God said we're going to die, but boy, that fruit looks pretty good. And boy, if I eat it, I'm probably going to be a whole lot smarter. So she examined the evidence, went with the evidence. Tell me what the outcome was. We're living in it, aren't we? People are dying every day. People are getting sick all the time. God said that's what was going to happen. But she looked at the evidence, okay? I tell people this, if she would have taken a Bible first, a Word of God first approach, okay, she would have said what? You know what, serpent? God's word is true. You're a liar. Therefore, get behind me. I'm not having anything to do with you. Now watch, could you imagine where we'd be today if she'd have done that? No death, no what? No sickness. Sure, it'd be like living in the Garden of Eden, wouldn't it? Be really good, would it not? But do you see what I'm saying? As a Christian, when you sit down and start weighing the evidence and you ignore the Word of God, you're headed for trouble. You're absolutely headed for trouble is where it takes us. Again, I'll go with this one. Jesus quoted and obeyed Scripture when Satan tempted him. I'm not even going into this one. Is everybody with me on that? He didn't sit down and go, I'm pretty hungry. I can make bread. He didn't say, if I bow down to you, I get all the kingdoms of the world. I don't have to go to the cross. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. He said what? As soon as he was tempted, what did he do? Bible. This is what the Bible says. I'm hanging on to the Bible. Okay? Now, that kept him as our qualified Savior. Far too many of us put more confidence in our personal assessment of evidence than we do in the infallible Word of God. Does that make sense to you? Folks, it's Bible first. God's Word first, however you want to put it. Watch the evidence. You might say, but the evidence, but it makes sense. But, you know, it just seems to me. Are those the words we use? God said, let's follow that one. Okay? And again, I come back to this in the evolution thing. Well, the bones seem to say. I don't care what the bones seem to say. God said, I created this thing in 24-hour days. I think I'll stick with that. Okay? Call me crazy. Call me foolish. Call me a believer in mythology if that's what you want to do. Go ahead. But I believe God. And I'm going to stay with that. Again, you say, well, Pastor, when's this thing ever going to end? I think I'm on the last slide. Okay? That's why I've come all the way around to go back to 1 Peter 3:15. Before we answer somebody, you better sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Because that's what we need to answer people. We need God and His Word and His answers so that as we answer people, oh, we try to give some evidence and we try to show some things, but you know what? It's the Word of God. Sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and with His Bible, with His instructions, that's what we take forward. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Father, I pray that you might help us to be Christians, and truly, Lord, make this Calvary Bible Church, or keep us Calvary Bible Church. Lord, we don't worry about the reasonings and the ramblings of men. Lord, we trust the proven, infallible Word of God. And Lord, you would help us from then to have a foundation that interprets the evidence correctly, which will lead us to you and, Lord, not away from you. Thank you again for the Word of God. Help us to stand on it stronger than we ever had. And again, Lord, I pray for Ken Ham. Help him to use the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen.